Welcome to this special edition of Bark's podcast. In August, September and October, we're featuring a series of Facebook Live sessions where we interview, chat, chuckle and learn from some of our scheduled presenters for Geek Week 2021, the sequel, which is running from November 13th to November 17th. To learn more about Geek Week and the 70 presenters and over 130 sessions, visit geekweek.rocks. Welcome everybody. I'm just going to confirm, but I do believe that we are now live on Facebook. So thank you everyone for joining me. We are doing another of our chat and chuckle about Geek Week. So we have some new guests here today. Oh, hello, Dr. Lisa Gunter. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I was hoping you'd join us. Seems like years since I last caught up with you. All right, so here we are. How wonderful. So let's just do some quick introductions. I've got Denise O'Moore in the top left. Denise is the chair of Interdogs, which is one of the four co-hosting organizations for Geek Week. And then we've got Jen Nesbitt-Hawes, who is in Sydney, Australia.
Yep.
Melissa Starling and Mindy Waite, and then Dr. Lisa Gunter in the bottom right-hand corner. So welcome, ladies. How is everybody?
Great.
Everybody looking forward to Geek Week?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm prepped and ready. I've got the merchandise.
Yeah, Denise is wearing the official Geek Week t-shirt. Yeah, I'm just checking everyone's here. Okay, so here we are today. What we're going to do is we're just going to spend, I won't keep you longer than half an hour because I promised you half an hour. So what I want to do is just talk, have a few minutes with everyone just to talk about what you're going to be presenting on and why you think people should come and see your session. And then I'm going to ask you all what other sessions you are looking forward to watching. And at some point during this, I'm going to throw out a question. So some lucky person who's watching Facebook may win a free Geek Week ticket. Woohoo!
Ooh.
Yay. So who should we start with? Let's start with Jen. Jen over in Australia. So Jen, you are actually sponsoring PPG Geek Week as well, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I am. So I'm doing a sponsor sort of slot. And I'm also having a chat about my book, The Puppy Manual.
Excellent. So tell us about your company. Tell us about Pet Perspective. What do you do?
What does Pet Perspective do? It's evolved. It's evolved over time. So I now do client information for dog trainers, for veterinarians, anyone who's kind of like a pet professional.
Right.
And I write the client info for you. And then people purchase the product and then I tailor it. So so the Puppy Manual, for example, is the book that I'm mostly talking about.
Right.
And it's basically designed for pet professionals to provide to new puppy owners. Mm-hmm. And so all written out, full manual of instructions on what to do with your new puppy. Mm-hmm. But then if, for example, you, Nikki, teach sit in a totally different way to the way I teach it, then you can say, hey Jen, this is awesome, but I teach sit this way. Mm-hmm. And then I change it for you.
So we
put the way that you do it.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of finding like there's lots of really great info and I could say, okay, this book is really great for you to read, but I kind of do this a little bit differently in class. So just don't you know, either choose one way or the other. Or
right.
So it's nice to have everything that's sort of tailored for the way that you do it.
Yeah.
Got your branding all through it, all that kind of fun stuff.
Absolutely. So your sponsor spotlight is going to talk about the Puppy Manual, isn't it, and how it can help people.
Excellent.
What else on the Geek Week schedule have you looked at that you're interested in watching? Is there anything that catches your eye?
It's all catching my eye, Nikki.
That's
the problem.
There's some pretty amazing, I think this is actually our best conference in terms of the caliber of presenters, and some of the topics are awesome. There's some amazing topics this year.
There is so much fascinating stuff. I just love the way that it's available for so long afterwards, so that then you can just keep browsing and picking through.
Absolutely.
Catching up on all the ones you've missed.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump down to Lisa.
6 months, isn't it? 6 months this year you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa.
Yes.
Hello. Lisa's in Arizona. Lisa works at Arizona University.
Arizona State University.
Yeah. Right. Right. I had the pleasure of spending a couple of days with Lisa a year ago, a couple of years ago. Seems like yesterday, but it was bloody years ago, with pre-COVID. Yeah. Lisa's doing a couple of general sessions for us. And Lisa, you do a lot of work with rescue, don't you? So much of the research that you do is with rescue. So yes. Tell us a little bit about the sessions that you're doing, because I think they're fascinating.
Oh, thank you. So we're doing a couple sessions based on some recent work we're doing. Stuff that we, say, for example, just finished last week.
Okay. So and we'll still a little bit of a rush. Data.
I know, a little bit of a rush, you know, but it's like always giving, like, you know, presenting the latest and greatest in science. So the first work I'll be talking about is some of the data we collected during the first 4 months of the pandemic, and looking at the efforts of about 20 shelters across the U.S. and their emergency fostering efforts. So what sort of dogs went out to foster care, what sort of fosters participated, and how the sort of qualities about the shelter impacted perhaps what sort of foster providers they had, and just outcomes for dogs. So that's a bit about what I'll be talking about in the first session. And then the second session, we've been working with a shelter in Minnesota, Animal Humane Society. They're a great collaborator of ours, and they originally approached us because they were designing new housing for dogs, and they wanted to know, you know, is this idea that we have, is it actually good for the dogs? And I think that that's such a wonderful way to use science, which is not necessarily assumed that this great idea we have is the best for their welfare, but instead ask those questions. So the first study, we took a look at this housing and interactions with other dogs, which was a component of that housing. And in the second study, which we just wrapped up, we're looking at the size of the kennel and interaction with humans. And kind of looking at that sort of, comparison, which we don't get to see very often between with these companion animals, how do they, you know, how and to what magnitude do they benefit or not from interaction with conspecifics as well as us. So.
Right. Without giving away too much, what did anything come out, especially the study? Because I think I seem to recall you and I had a conversation about this, because I think one of your passions is sort of trying to create animal shelters that do so much more for animals while they're in them, isn't it? Rather than just sort of being warehousing. What did anything come out of that study that was just absolutely blindsided you, that sort of made you go, oh my God, who would have thought?
Without giving too much away, let's see, in the first study, it was interesting. So we had to take a look at providing interaction with other dogs who were participating in the study. And so, that's a bit of a challenge. How do you balance sort of your experimental design with the fact that what's the point of the intervention? It's supposed to improve their welfare, so they should probably be having a good time. We used small groups, positive reinforcement methods. Used food, oh my goodness. So we interacted with them and provided an opportunity for them to interact with dogs that they enjoyed in small groups. And what we found that was pretty surprising is that I won't tell you what we found about the impact of the intervention itself, although I would say it's probably pretty good news. But when we took a look at what they were doing during those interventions, because we videoed them, we found that they were, even though this was a dog-to-dog intervention, guess who they're spending the most time with?
People. Yeah.
Yep. So that's sort of what led us into our second study. So we'll be talking kind of about what we found. We take a look at physiological measures, activity, in this latest study. We're continuing to look at those measures, also respiratory scoring, audiometer data. So we'll be sharing all that.
Cool beans.
So, can I ask? Are we allowed to ask questions too? Is that okay?
No questions for Lisa. Absolutely no questions for Lisa. Yes, of course. In fact, if you like, I can go get my dinner and I'll just put myself on no camera and we'll just let you guys take it away.
I mean, I could chat with Lisa for hours. So, like, I'll just do one question. But Lisa, I'm really morbidly curious. Does that suggest anything to you about the welfare of, like, not shelter dogs, but like owned dogs, and whether or not they need interactions with like other dogs, or whether like they're people are just as good?
I know, right? I think that this is such a fascinating question about dogs, right? Because when we think about welfare, often like maybe we're talking about livestock, we're talking about, you know, wild animals that are spending time with each other, because they're conspecifics, right? Which is so important. And then we have this really interesting situation with dogs where we have selected for all of these social qualities with us. And then, and so does that same sort of approach to welfare, being able to spend time with others, is it as important as all this selection we've done over a very long time? So that's kind of how we got interested in it, because I don't know the answer to that. I'm not so sure about it. And so I think that, again, especially in shelters, I think they're certainly built, while we have volunteer programs that are for walking and those type of things, we very rarely give volunteers a lot of spaces to hang out with the animals and just decompress, right? You know, hang out, like maybe in an outdoor pen and things like that, but they're not really comfortable and suitable for people to enjoy spending time with each other and in some or with dogs and people. And I think oftentimes these spaces are, you know, made for dogs hanging out with each other. And so just kind of thinking about how, what are the spaces we create and what sort of activities are they made for, and are those the ones that we should be doing for most of the dogs or some of the dogs?
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm hosting both your sessions, Lisa, so I'll have a front row seat for those. Yeah, it's one of the benefits of coordinating the schedule. I was like, cherry. All right, I'm going to flip over to Dr. Melissa Starling, because I have to tell you, Melissa, I just love your email address. Your email address is Creature Teacher, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my business.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to say where it's at, because you might get an influx of people emailing you, but it always amuses me when I type in your email address. So, Melissa, you're in Australia, aren't you?
Yes, Sydney.
Sydney again. Okay. All right, lovely. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing at Geek Week.
Well, when I sort of started with the writing all the bits and pieces that I had to do before doing the talk, I thought, oh, I should probably talk about emotions in dogs, because I did my PhD on that and I know the subject really well. But because it's me, I always kind of end up like disappearing down a rabbit hole or something halfway through. And that's kind of what happened with the talk. So it starts off talking about emotions, like short-term emotional states and long-term emotional states in dogs. We talk a bit about optimism, which is what I did my PhD on. And then I just got really interested in avoidance learning. And so probably about half the talk is about avoidance learning, because it's so interesting. It's really interesting. Just the, how does it get maintained? What does it mean for an animal that is avoiding? Like, is it bad for them? Is it always bad for them? How bad is it? All that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And I'm assuming that you've looked over the schedule. Is there anything on the schedule that you are actually quite interested in seeing? Because I think one of the fascinating things about Geek Week is that we have academics and behavior experts and business experts from all over the world, because the four co-hosting organizations are based in the UK, the US, and two in Australia, which so it brings sort of a nice eclectic mix of professionals.
Yeah, well, you might assume that I had looked over the schedule. That
no, I didn't. I haven't assumed.
Whether that would be accurate or not is another thing. Yeah, my schedule kind of unfolds on a weekly basis at the moment. It's okay. Been really hectic. For some reason, it's just there's always another thing that urgently needs to be done. So schedules get looked at probably a day ahead if we're lucky. So, no, okay. I don't know if there's a schedule yet, but I am sure that there's quite a lot of things on there that I would be interested in. I'm always interested in loads of stuff that's going on, so I do look forward to looking at the schedule.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to look forward, you're optimistic about looking at the schedule. Fabulous. That's fabulous. I'm just going to drop down to the bottom and introduce Tasha, because Tasha jumped on while we were already talking. And Tasha, first of all, you're a crazy woman, because you're in the UK and over there it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. So either you don't sleep or you purposely schedule to stay up all night to do this. I'm not sure. You're on mute. There you go.
Stay deliberately to keep me up.
So
I just don't sleep.
Yeah. You just don't sleep. Yeah, that's okay. What are you presenting on, Tasha? You're presenting on the behaviour track, aren't you?
Yeah, with mentoring. because there's so many fantastic people already doing dogs behavior, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So it's like mentoring is really important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important in the industry to talk about it, because so many people say to me, they can't stand people. Sorry, that's just Django.
That sounded like a dog actually having a a conversation with somebody, didn't it?
Joining in there.
Yeah.
See, having wolf dogs, you can't actually sleep. This is why I'm always up. because people say they don't know how to talk to people, they don't like dealing with people. So with mentoring, it's like teaching people the people skills to have, and then the support system that dog trainers and behaviorists do need. Because people can be absolutely vile. So automatically, because we're human, when someone's not very nice, we do put a defensive wall up straight away. And it's just about teaching people how to handle that. And then obviously getting experience, because there's way too many people now that are doing these, like, no disrespect, a group on online course for £20, and then they're a dog trainer or a behaviorist, or the job center here lets people do a course and then call themselves a dog trainer or behaviorist. And then the problem that we're having is that we're having clients come to us very frustrated, saying that dog trainers are bad people and rip off merchants, when actually we're not. It's just that they chose to go with somebody who was very cheap, who didn't know what they was doing. And if there's no support system there for new or young dog trainers, or even established dog trainers, then we can't really blame them for not being able to get the support and the access that they need to do better.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those ongoing questions, isn't it? Because even if somebody has the best academic education, and maybe they've even gone to a school where they've learned some really good mechanical skills, actually then taking that and doing that as a job, it's completely different, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely different. Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's just, I think it's just one of the unintended consequences of an unregulated industry, unfortunately, that anybody can, as Jean Donaldson says, put a shingle out and call themselves a dog trainer. So really important. So Mindy, did I gather from your question earlier that you and Lisa are familiar with each other?
Okay, so
you're aware of Lisa's lovely habit. I mean, she introduced me to some amazing cocktails when I was in Arizona.
Oh, I don't think she showed me the cocktail. No,
you know,
I mean, in all fairness, the conferences that we go to, I think they choose the alcohol for you. So
okay, that's a bit dangerous, isn't it? Very dangerous. So Mindy, tell us about what you're presenting on.
So I was optimistic for this, and I chose two talks as well. Both of my talks are in the academic track, and they are very much based on research that we have performed. The first talk that I'm giving, I actually don't know which order they're in, but the first talk that comes to mind is describing differences between what's called functional assessments, which are assessments used to identify the function of operant behaviors, and how those differ from the subcategory of functional analyses, because those two things are sort of like thrown around a lot. And there is a major difference between the two, and like how valid and experimental they are. So I'm talking a little bit about those two pieces, and then in the context of a research project that we did using a functional analysis to identify why three dogs engaged in mouthing behavior, and then use the results of that analysis to inform effective interventions on the back end. And the second talk is kind of a newer topic, a newer research study that we just finished up in like March, which was funded by Fear Free, which is kind of cool. And that study was, we modified a preference assessment for essentially the average owner to engage with their dog to identify empirically their dog's relative preferences between different foods. So essentially, if you've got an owner who's like, I think my dog likes peas, you could be like, hey, let's put this preference assessment in place and let's see what your dog actually likes. And then you can rank them. And what's kind of cool about that is once you've got, like, once the dog understands the game of the protocol, you can essentially pit foods against each other whenever you want. So my dog was dog number one in the study. And like just yesterday, I was like, I don't know, let's try, does he like watermelon or cheese? The answer is cheese, but I could have gone either way. So it's kind of cool. Once owners have this protocol down, like they can use it throughout the life with their dog.
Yeah. Excellent. Eduardo Fernandez loves preference testing as well, doesn't he?
He does.
He loves preference testing. Yeah. He did an interesting talk at one of our conferences in Portland about it, where he actually had everybody making choices, choosing things. All right. So if anyone's watching this on Facebook, I'm going to throw out a free Geek Week ticket just because I like giving out stuff for free. So what I would like to know, the second, and this, it's not an easy, I'm not giving the ticket for free for nothing. You got to do some work here. You have got to go to the schedule for Geek Week. And I want to know, what is the time and date of Dr. Lisa Gunter's second session, and what is the title of it, and what beverage will she be drinking while she delivers it? and if you answer all those correctly, you will get a free Geek Week ticket. So for all of you out there.
I hope it's water, Lisa. I hope that's the answer.
What time is that?
I'm making out that Lisa's like really sort of out there individual, but she's not. I love you to bits, Lisa. So yeah, so there you go. So if anybody wants a free Geek Week ticket, you have to tell me the date and time of Dr. Lisa Gunter's second session, the full title, and then take a guess at what beverage you think she'll be drinking. And I will ask Lisa after this what beverage she probably will be drinking, and we'll see if anybody gets it right.
Okay.
All right. And if you don't get the beverage right, we will give away the ticket to the first person that answers the other components correctly. Okay. All right. So here's some questions for our guests here. Points mean prizes, but the prizes are nothing. So don't get overly excited about getting points. What are the dates of Geek Week? Who knows the actual dates, the 5 days of Geek Week?
Schedule in front of me.
and you cannot answer this question, Denise, anymore.
Well, I know it ends on the 17th.
Okay, all right. So we're almost there. Let's just backdate this. All right.
And the 15th is in about the middle of it. So
okay. But we've got a lot of scientists 13. Here, so we're collecting some data. Yeah. Uh-huh. So what's the first day? Thank goodness you are not our sales team.
Must be.
What day is the cocktail party on, guys? Come on.
Isn't that the 13th? 13th. I know that one.
Yes, yeah. The party that you've all RSVP'd to going to is on the 13th. My goodness. All right, so Geek Week is November 13th to 17th. So for additional points that once again will get you no prizes, what is happening 7 days before Geek Week? What are we doing 7 days before Geek
Week? There's a countdown.
Yay! The Jen Nesbitt.
Brilliant.
No points. Throw them all over there. They're not worth anything, but you can have them. We're doing a 7-day countdown, which means at 9 a.m. each morning and 7 p.m. each evening Eastern Time, we are doing 30-minute sessions live on Facebook with some of our presenters, some of our sponsors, those lovely people that have donated prizes, and we're going to be giving away lots and lots of prizes during that period. So that will then build up to the 13th when we will actually launch Geek Week. And you know what? I'm going to throw another Geek Week ticket out. I'm feeling really generous. I probably shouldn't have had 6 gin and tonics before I came on here this evening. No, I'm just joking. I don't drink anymore. I want to know, so anybody out there in Facebook land who'd like a free Geek Week ticket, I want to know what is the name of the first, and there's 3 of them, so you can choose any 3, the very first session that will launch Geek Week on the 13th. I want the date, the time, and the name of the presenter.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but you're not entitled to win anything. You cannot win anything. All right. So, ladies, what else is going on at Geek Week? So we have some amazing sponsors like Dr. Jen Nesbitt, a sponsor from Pet Perspective. So we have a lot of really cool sponsors that have on their platform, they have a really cool exhibitor corner where attendees can go in and can network and watch videos and chat to them. It's a much better and more improved platform than last year. Have any of you guys played around with it? Have you actually been on there and played around with it? Melissa, you haven't read the schedule, so I'm hedging a bet you probably haven't even been on the platform and had a look around it.
Fairly fair assumption.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, it's a really nice platform. It's really easy to use. It functions very similar to Facebook. So I think we're going to have a lot of really cool enhanced networking abilities on there as well. which is really good. Lisa, you look like you're about to say something then. Were you about to say something?
Oh, no? I'm just laughing so much.
I'm glad we can give you some entertainment this evening. So, that's wonderful. All right, does anyone know how many presenters we have for Geek Week? We should actually run some real quiz competitions here, Denise, because I don't think we'd be giving away very much at all.
No.
We'd be leaving with the same bag of swag that we arrived with.
Oh, 74.
Yes, wow! Well done, Lisa!
How did you know Googled that? It.
Well done, Lisa, 74. Does anyone know how many sessions we actually have?
Oh. 7 times 24?
7 times 24.
Don't we have, is it like one? No, there's it's nothing more than that.
Where does the 7 come from?
Oh, never 24? Mind, it's 5. Never mind, take it back.
It's 5 days.
There's some fine examples of the mathematical components that are coming out of our United States universities. Yeah.
This is why when Eduardo did his data thing, we all ended up favouring
but
Oreos.
Thanks for trying. God loves a tryer. I think it's 134 in total. There are sessions, so yeah, really good value. And there are still some tickets left, so run, don't walk, to get your Geek Week tickets and to see one of these delightful females who will be presenting and sponsoring. So I promised I wouldn't keep you past 8:30 because I know you probably all got far more important things to do this evening. What else is everyone doing this evening? Is anyone going back to the office, or are you
going to bed?
I'm going to bed. I don't think these guys on the West Coast are going to bed. They're probably going back to work. Are you guys heading back to work after this? No?
Yeah, I've got several emails I've got to get out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just going to flip over to Facebook and see if we've had anyone that knows what Dr. Lisa Gunter drinks. So, it appears not. It appears nobody knows. So,
Tell, could be a good bet.
That's
everybody got the date.
That's a very difficult question, though, isn't it? What someone drinks.
Yeah, okay. I had to look up at the time I was talking to, like, figure out what I would be drinking at that time.
Probably cocktail.
And what time will it be?
I think it's 6. I think it's going to be, I think the time change will have happened, so it's probably 6:30.
Should we give them the title as well, so they don't have to go look
in the morning or the evening?
Should we give them the date and title too, so nobody has to look it up?
I suppose. Okay, it's 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, it's p.m.
11:30 p.m. over where Tasha and myself are, and 10:30 a.m. in Australia. So.
And what's the title, Denise? We might as well give them all the
virtual.
We've given them all the answer.
Fancy dress cocktail party.
I've lost control of this meeting this evening. It's just going downhill really quickly.
You do win a prize if you dress up, don't you?
That's a bit of deflection for us, isn't it? Yes, actually, Denise, thank you. That was a really nice segue. The cocktail party on the 13th. What's the theme for the cocktail party on the 13th, on the virtual cocktail party?
Nerd.
Geek, yeah. Congress is a nerd or as a geek. And the person who is most nerdy, geeky, will actually win a fabulous prize.
But your definition of geek and nerd was very different to Grisha's last time we had this conversation. Can you remember what Grisha said? It kind of very derailed
something about a dead chicken. We didn't have a conversation about dead chicken.
Yeah, something about headless chickens.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we got there. Anyway, the virtual cocktail party is themed. And if any of you have RSVP'd for the cocktail party, have any of you RSVP'd for the cocktail party?
Yep.
Yeah. Melissa will.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I'll be the day before.
Because if you've RSVP'd for it, you could actually say whether you wanted to play an official role or not. And if you're playing an official role, then you'll be given a judging sheet. So as people move through your room, you can score them based on their geekiness. Yeah.
You can sit back and judge people.
You can judge
quietly people. Behind your keyboard. It's just like Facebook.
The virtual cocktail party. Oh my goodness. All right. How exciting is that? Well, ladies, I think I'm gonna call it a day there. I think we've learned a lot about Lisa's drinking habits. We know that Melissa's schedule unravels a week at a time. What else do we know? I think that's all we know. Yeah. Nice.
I think we should actually have somebody design a cocktail for Geek Week.
Mindy seemed to be quite excited by that.
Mindy and Lisa are maybe, nodding here.
Maybe yeah. Mindy would like to do something on that.
I'm not good enough to do that, but I like the idea for sure.
Okay. So Denise, while you're designing the cocktail, Mindy's right there with you.
Excellent. Yeah. Lisa, right on board.
Yeah, and I can handle any quality control testing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, quality control testing. Okay. All right, ladies. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. I can honestly say it has been an absolute hoot having you all on here tonight. It has been a pleasure. So thank you very much for coming here with such fabulous attitudes. So Melissa, your homework is to read the Geek Week schedule. That's it. All right, ladies, on a serious note, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Nikki.
And I will see you all hopefully for the cocktail party, if not the 7 days before that, but definitely at Geek Week. So thank you very much for being part of what we know is going to be a fabulous event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What sets PPG apart? We are the only membership organization for professionals who subscribe to the view that aversive methods should not be used or even deemed necessary as part of a strategic training or behavior modification program. As an organization, we stand up for what we and our membership believes in. We promote ongoing advocacy initiatives and back up our positions with the latest scientific research and peer-reviewed studies. As a member of PPG, you have access to more than 30 membership benefits. So what's stopping you? Visit www.petprofessionalguild.com and explore the PPG membership.